it's going.
All right. All right. Number three.
Take three. Yeah, we were busy. We started recording this episode, and then we got interrupted by an elephant.
Birds. Well, first birds.
Birds, yeah.
Then an elephant.
Then an elephant. And then just now a marsh harrier, which just flew over and
tasty
had me got some nice
treat of a bird.
Photos of, yeah. But no more distractions.
We digress.
Hopefully. No more digression. Hopefully. We're still in the Okavango Delta. We are at Vumbura Plains, and we're going to rewind 3 days to Chitabi and talk a little bit more about Chitabi. So we left off in the last episode.
The leopard in the tree?
Exactly. We talked about that leopard in the tree, and now we want to talk about one of the other amazing sightings we had at Chitabi.
Yeah, because the next morning.
It was just, yeah, it was just one into the next. Mm. So the next morning, I can't remember exactly what happened for the first part of the game drive, and it doesn't matter. We found a leopard.
Oh, we went to a hyena den, hoping that there would be cubs there. We got there.
Oh.
There was one adult, because we hadn't seen hyena yet. We'd kind of seen everything else at this point of like the kind of bigger
items. And we were looking for the lion males, and we'd heard them in the distance. And we tracked them. And this is good to hear as well, because we were tracking them for ages and we just couldn't catch up with them. And they disappeared into a block or into a block where we couldn't follow them.
But two vehicles were circling the blocks. We're following tracks. So we can hear them calling. They're moving further away. We can't catch up with them. On and on and on.
Yeah.
And then
we
kind of give up.
Yeah. Anyway. And then we hear that there's a leopard that's been spotted really close by. And we go and we catch up with this leopard. There's one other vehicle there that had found him. And now it's in a different area to most of the areas that we've been to on this trip, in that it's in woodland. And there were
Hadley's least favorite vegetation zone.
Yeah, but not Mopani.
This wasn't bad.
Mopani is your least favorite.
It wasn't full Mopani. It was like baby woodland.
Yeah.
Much more manageable.
Yeah, exactly.
You could still get nice photos and have it epic sighting in.
A lot of termite mounds and a lot of dead trees and a lot of fallen over dead trees, which very much like punctuated this sighting, I would say. There was also a little bit of a breeze because it was sort of mid-morning already.
It was windy.
And we found this leopard, and it was an adult male, which we had also not seen
five
yet. Five or six. I can't quite remember, but it was an adult male, like a territorial male.
Yeah.
And he was very relaxed, and he was also busy hunting, right?
He was. Well, we got there and he climbed up onto a termite mound and posed perfectly. And we were snapping away and I was like, oh, okay, amazing. If that's all we get, like, chuffed. That was so cool. Nice light. He's sitting there up on this termite mound, like, awesome. Big male leopard. Haven't seen one in a while. Like, very stoked with that. And then it was quite windy, but he was walking into the wind. So we were like, all right, well, he's clearly hunting. He was very, like, walking very much with purpose. And, you know, he walks another, I don't know, 300 meters, and there's a fallen over tree, and we follow him there. And
he climbs.
Puppy jumps.
He climbs into this fallen over tree and sits down on this log, or this, fallen over tree. Sits there for a while. Looking around, you know, you can see this is not a leopard that wants to sit down and chill for the day. This is a leopard that's active.
Looking
for something to hunt. He then kind of gets up and walks down this log. This log is kind of at not a 45 degree angle, like a gentler angle. But he just kind of walks down it. There's a really nice video to that we can hopefully share with you guys. And then he continues walking. And now the whole time he's very deliberately walking, you know, he's carefully looking around, and he spots some zebra, right?
I think the first was the zebra, yep. But we're like, oh, okay, maybe, sure, maybe. Look around, all adults, there's like some juveniles, but no like proper youngster that he could easily take down.
Yeah, exactly. But he definitely was just very patient, not really putting any effort into stalking, but remaining hidden from view from these zebra, like using the wind in his favor, regularly getting up onto termite mounds and other small like trees, doing a bit of scent marking here and there, just really like patiently, calmly walking. This is you know, a part of this leopard's routine. I would say sometimes that something is actively hunting, and then sometimes something is just like hunting, like passively almost.
Yeah,
right?
he was walking around, marking his territory. If the situation presented itself, he definitely would have hunted.
Right, but no.
His two options were adult zebra and giraffe calves with their mothers and adults.
Yeah, and
so
they were
not great options.
No. There were quite a lot of giraffe around, a lot of adults as well, in sort of two different groups. There's a coppery-tailed, no, white-browed cuckoo again. Nice. So, you know, I think that one of those giraffe of one of the groups had spotted the leopard, but, you know, giraffe really communicate mostly with body language rather than making noise in particular, and it didn't seem like that the young giraffe calves that this leopard was focused on had noticed the other giraffe in the other group that was maybe a few hundred feet away staring at this leopard. The zebra were also at one point really staring in this one direction towards where this leopard might be. But this leopard, you know, being a leopard, he was well camouflaged.
Mm.
He was sitting at the base of a log again and just like looking out. And just very, very patient. It was just such a great sighting in terms of the photographic opportunities, the video opportunities, and he was just calmly walking and showing us in the beautiful morning light,
mm-hmm.
He was just immaculate,
like orange.
Right? Like he was just...
That was the other thing. This leopard was freaking beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not old. He doesn't have, like, scratches and scars on his face. Like, beautiful, beautiful animal. Bright, bright eyes, like a greenish blue color. Really just a treat to watch.
Yeah.
And to get to watch him for so long and to be doing so many different things was just so fun.
And we'd only seen really young males, like the one sub-adult the day before and the one really young male at Tubu Tree.
We hadn't
seen the fully grown male leopard.
Big,
you know,
neck, muscular shoulders.
So that was really, really cool. The leopard then walked into some sort of thicker vegetation, still walking with kind of an intent. I think this leopard was definitely hungry. You could see that his stomach wasn't full, in very good condition, in immaculate condition, you might say, but very much not full. And he was probably going to keep walking for a while. He then settled at the base of a termite mound again, another
mm-hmm.
termite mound, and he was still looking at these zebra and... a different group of zebra, that is. He'd kind of given up on the giraffe because the giraffe calves and the giraffe eventually moved off. They eventually caught on and, you know, moved in a different direction. And I mean, catching a giraffe for a leopard, even if it's a very big male leopard, it's not an easy task. I think they really need the element of surprise and they really need to get close to be able to do that.
Yeah, and ideally much further away from the adults.
Yeah. And I must say, we've probably been with this leopard again, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah, easily. Because it was slow moving. I mean, he'd get on a termite mound, he'd sit there for 5-10 minutes. He'd walk around to a log, same thing. And we're just kind of slowly following him from point to point to point where he rests or, you know, decides to hunt or analyzes something. And
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say an hour and a half.
Yeah. And we then just left him at the base of this termite mound because...
It must also be said, just while we're on that, when you said that, I was just thinking how many predators we see on termite mounds. Like, how often they're utilizing them as a... Like, the delta is so flat, and that's what makes it so beautiful, and that's what allows the flood to be here. And it's incredible how important these termite mounds are and how many of the animals use them.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure.
It's
like the perfect perch.
Yep, that's true.
So we left the leopard on a termite mound.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the next sighting. That was just as a male leopard sight. Like, I don't think I've had a sighting of a male leopard for that long
mm-hmm.
during the day before, like uninterrupted, and you can just view it and just see what it does for such a long time.
Yeah.
Really, really special. Anyway, the next day, I think let's move on to the next afternoon because. That
Wasn't
afternoon,
it the next morning?
Yeah, you're right. It was the following morning.
Yeah, because it was a morning drive. We were supposed to be going to Komati.
That's right. So we were going to go across the concession to the eastern side to this channel, this perennial channel, so it means that there's water that flows in it constantly, called the Gumuti Channel. And now Hadley and I had been to that channel.
It's freaking beautiful.
Yeah, when we went to Karakwe, and I'm sure we talked about that in the episode about Karakwe a few seasons ago. Anyway, we didn't quite get that far because we were sort of slowly making our way across, and we were tracking a pride of lions, and we were, you know, stopping to look at, there was more giraffe there, yay. We heard on the radio that some dogs had been found, and wild dogs.
Not close to where we were.
Not close to where we were, but just, it was a big pack, and, you know, we know how these things go. It can be very difficult to find dogs at any time, anywhere. So we decided, okay, let's follow up on this. Why not?
Yeah, also
we may
just
as well.
Like, seeing dogs is just infinitely better than not seeing dogs.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it just is like, no matter what else you're going to see, like, the channel is amazing, but, like, there's just not much better than being with the dogs and knowing that you're in an area where if you find them, you can stay with them and watch them do whatever they're doing so long as you can keep up.
Yeah, or, you know, if I can choose life with painted wolves or wild dogs or life without them, I would always choose with, because they're just, they make life better. Anyway, they make life better for people that are just viewing them, not the prey items that they hunt, because life for them is just terrible.
Oh my God, so brutal.
We drove for a while. This is probably the longest responding drive that we did or have done at any point in our on our Delta trip. It was a good 20 to 25 minutes of driving, but totally worth it. As we get closer, we're in the back out of these kind of woodlands that are the middle of the larger islands and concessions, but back into the open floodplains with the smaller studded islands, or the smaller islands that stud the floodplains. And far in the distance, hundreds of meters away, at least, we see the dogs, and there's one vehicle with them. And they're excited, as they usually are.
As they always are. They're so pumped up.
Yeah, just pumped up about life. Running around
having
on
fun,
this floodplain.
Running around.
Causing absolute mayhem.
Frolicking.
Yeah, just causing mayhem. Everything that they come across is just phased.
Yeah.
Like, just phased by them.
Just before we got in there, we'd seen kudu that were, like, very agitated and a bit out of the bush. Kudu are quite thick bush, and we were like, you guys look like you've seen the dogs.
You guys have seen the dogs, right? So the dogs at a distance kind of moved onto this island, and now we are expecting them to come out on the, like, they went in on the right side, we expect them to come out on the left side. So we drive onto the left side of the island, onto one of these roads that kind of skirts the island, and then we're driving around the island, and we look to the right, and there's like a huge amount of dust. And now my first thought is like, oh, have they caught something? Like, because they were really excited when we'd seen them previously, like when we'd seen them a few moments ago. So I thought, oh, maybe, you know, they had seen something on the island and already caught it. And that's what this dust is.
Nay.
No, it wasn't. It was something completely different, wasn't it? We drove onto the island or into the island. And
so many things.
As we get closer, there's just, again, it's just mayhem, because this is a big pack. There's 19 individuals, 19 adults, and they are busy digging. And they're digging in an aardvark burrow or some sort of an old burrow. And they're digging because at this time of year, wild dogs are denning. And wild dogs, like the other African canids, or most of the other African canids, they have a breeding season and they have denning season, and they drop or give birth to their litters at the same time of year, roughly the same time of year
every year.
There can be a bit of variance in that, like maybe a slightly greater variance than, let's say, impalas.
Probably depends a little bit, changes a little bit with the area.
Yeah, it's a bit regional as well. Exactly. Yeah. But here it seems to be usually in the month of May or June that they give birth. In order to give birth, they need a den, so they need a good big sized hole or burrow that they can give birth to in, and then
give birth in
sorry. When they do that, the alpha female or the alpha male will always stay with those really young pups, because just like with domestic dogs, wild dogs are born with closed eyes, closed ears, and they're really
tiny
and
very helpless
for the first week or 2 weeks of their lives. And even after that, they're pretty helpless, but at least then they can see and hear. And so the dogs that we came across here, they were busy digging their hole to den in, and it wasn't just one, it was
right.
two different sites that they were digging, and there was just lots of
well,
dust coming up into the air, right?
Two females digging two holes,
yeah.
and we're like, oh, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Two checking out holes at the same time, how funny.
Yeah.
And then the one comes out of the hole closest to us, and he's like, yep, you see that one? That's the alpha female, heavily pregnant, you can see her stomach, you can see her teats are swollen, looks like ready to give birth in the next, you know, week or two.
Yeah. But then...
And then another dog comes by.
Another pregnant female.
Who's also pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. Another pregnant female with very swollen mammary glands. And, you know, it's not unheard of at all that two dogs will be pregnant at the same time during the breeding season. However, there is normally just one alpha male and one alpha female. And usually it's just the one alpha female that gives birth. But it seemed very much to me like both of these females, one being the alpha and one being a beta female, were very close to giving birth. Probably, you know, as we're saying this and as we're recording this, three days on, there's a very good chance that they've already given birth now.
Mm.
Or maybe they have, maybe they haven't.
Definitely, I would assume they have a den site by now and have settled
yeah.
down in an area.
They were really comfortable. They were making lots of noise, so
the
they were
alphas
making
whine. I don't, can't remember. Did we talk about that yet? With the no, we didn't.
No.
So the alpha female that's pregnant is making this like high pitched whining noise, it's like a begging call.
Mm-hmm. We didn't. We've just seen this before.
Yeah, but I don't think we talked about it. We should do a different episode on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, she's making this like high pitched begging noise, and one of the other pack members that has blood on its face, so they'd obviously killed something, cause
yeah,
like half of the pack members have blood around their necks. She's like making this begging call, begging, and all of a sudden he regurgitates a bunch of food on the ground, which she gobbles up.
Yeah she took like, there was like a really big piece or chunk or something, and I just remember she gobbled a few pieces up, and then she grabbed this big piece and she like trotted off into the thicker bush and like fed on it there. Just a few kind of things that I really vividly remember was one of the things that struck me was there weren't 19 individuals when we got there. We were kind of counting, and they're all running around all over the place, so it's hard to kind of get an accurate count, but it didn't seem like 19 to me. And at a certain point, you hear this contact call, this whoop, whoop, whoop call.
It's such a cool noise in the distance.
It's like it's a chilling call. We talked
yeah.
about it on a previous episode about
a tubu tree yeah.
Back in 2021, and such a cool call.
We'll try and put it on here.
Yeah,
if we have it.
And then you see a few of these dogs kind of take off because they've obviously heard these dogs, other members of their pack, in the distance or from a distance, and they're just trying to kind of get everyone
Relocate.
Together again.
Yeah.
I think they're extra excited because it's like, it's denning time. Like there's a, you know, animals, when they come into breeding season, their bodies, it's largely to do, so in birds, it's largely to do with photoperiod. So the length of the day, that trigger a hormonal release, which dictates, and it's often something called prolactin, which dictates like parental behavior. So it, you know, they'll start mating, and then at a certain point, they know that they're about to give birth, and then they'll start digging this hole and start denning.
Hmm. Nesting period.
Yeah, there's this like overexcited energy around this pack, like even more than normal.
Gotta get ready. It's almost time.
So again, lots of interacting, lots of high-pitched squealing, and lots more digging. But they just looked quite content to have this island as the like their nucleus,
mm.
like the nucleus of their pack. And I just, you know, I said to our guide Tank, like, you're so lucky, it's also in a really central part of the reserve, really close to really close to the lodge, or like not that close, but close enough that you can get to it easily every day to check up on them. And actually, when he dropped us at the airstrip there a couple of days ago, he said, I was like, so are you picking up more guests today? And he said, no, I'm going to go to the wild dog den.
Yeah.
And I was like, you have it.
Dream.
You have the
dream job.
Like, you have the dream job working here, and knowing now that wild dogs are almost certainly denning on your, on the area that you call
Drive
your office.
Every day.
Like, yeah. So that was the wild dog sighting. I mean, there was not much else to it, really. They started to settle down a little bit. It was getting quite hot. It was pretty late already. And we'd stopped for, no, we went to stop for coffee after that, and then mm-hmm. we headed back to the lodge. But that
bush
was
brunch.
Sort of
we
the
bush brunch after that.
Oh, we did, yeah. We had the sort of the second, that was our second morning at Chitabi. I mean,
yeah.
What a morning. Sheesh. Absolutely incredible. And let's see, do we have time for anything else? Should we talk about the quiet drive at Chitabi?
I mean, the one with lion and leopard.
Yeah. Yeah, so just to give you
just, an... like, doesn't exist.
just doesn't seem to exist. We've been going on drives, and it's, like, I'm used to
afternoon
from...
Afternoon game drive also is short. We're not even out for that long. We're out for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
3.5 max.
I am used to, when going on safari, there are waves of where, like, the guides find animals and they know where things are, and then there's a day or two where it's quiet, and that's normal. And even like even in the sands, we were in the Sabi sands now, the area that is probably the most well known for seeing predators consistently, even there we went on two drives, and two drives were reasonably quiet, right? Like
mm-hmm.
where we didn't really see a predator, or we didn't see, like, we might have seen a hyena, but not
yeah,
really.
Yeah, we're far away.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And like I remember that from here, like even when we've been here, even when we went to Mambo, we drove.
Yeah, we had a quiet morning.
We had a quiet morning, like Vumbura.
Looking for a leopard, we couldn't find it. And
we've had quiet days.
Oh, actually, then we saw lions, but relatively quiet from Mambo.
But this trip has not been like that at all.
Oh my God.
Even when we've done like Makoros, or when we've gone out on the boat,
no.
Like we seem to find something every time.
Yeah.
This drive in question, this was our last afternoon at Chitabi, and you know, the pressure is off, like we don't need to look for anything anymore. And we drive out, and it just seems, it's just very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a beautiful afternoon.
We had a nice encounter with an elephant bull.
Yeah, that's right. We had a really
close
good
to the vehicle, really chilled, feeding on, you know, different vegetation.
Yeah. Well, in that morning we'd seen an elephant that was picking off these date palms off the ground.
Mm.
So they often shake these palm trees so that the palm nuts fall out of the tree.
Down.
And then they feed on them, like they use their trunks to pick them up off the ground. They sort of smell
so
for them
funny.
And look for them. And we had waited like 10, 15 minutes for this elephant to shake the tree again, because I really wanted to get a video of it, but it just wasn't doing it. And it was hot. So we were, you know, we said, let's just head back to the lodge or to the camp. And then in the afternoon, we were watching an elephant on our right hand side
mm-hmm.
and on our... We were watching
all
it for
sudden.
Ages, and then all of a sudden you just hear like it's raining or something. And on our left, like it must have only been 20 feet into the bush, there was another elephant bull who we'd completely missed because we were focusing on the one on our right hand side. There was an elephant bull
shaking a palm tree.
But that was kind of the start of the drive. And then we carried on, and it was very, very quiet for like an hour or two.
We went to a hyena den. But they weren't there. They weren't active at the time.
Yeah. And eventually we, you know, we just said, like, let's just go back. Let's just turn around. And, you know, I'm not going to say at all that I was disappointed. I just think like every other drive at Chitabi had pumped with sightings. So
honestly, a little bit, it was like, oh, okay, finally. Like the.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this place is
this
normal.
You're right. Okay.
Like
it's not this, like we couldn't keep up this pace.
No.
That we've been having. This has been so mental.
No, exactly. There's, yeah, so mental.
It's like.
Yeah, so we're driving back, and now it's dark already.
It's
yeah,
dark.
It was dark, right?
The sun has set, and the glow of the sky is gone.
It was dark, and we're heading back to the camp, and all of a sudden, middle of the road, there is two lions just sitting on the road.
Oh my gosh! Right.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the road. Honestly, I think that the sand was still warm.
Yeah.
And because she's just has
yeah.
her belly in the sand.
We just like viewed them briefly, and then we're like, let's just leave them, let's carry on. We carried on, you know, we'd seen lots of lions.
Yeah.
So we carried on. We still had a bit of a distance to drive. 5 minutes later down the road, there's a leopard
walking straight down the road again,
walking right down the road, active. And this
scent marking
exactly, like looking around. This was the leopard that was the mother of the leopard we talked about in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother of the young male that got treed by the lions and that had been feeding on that impala, and the leopard that we had actually been looking for at the start of
our
Chitabi safari. And this was the kind of older female that they know really well there. And we watched as she walked down the road. She sort of scent marked, and then she turned around, and in the pitch dark, And we didn't have the spotlight on her yet. We did put the spotlight on her eventually.
Yeah, we didn't have it on because the moon was so bright that you could still, you could see just with your naked eye. I mean, you can't see well, but you can see that she's there and you can watch her move.
Yeah, but these impala see her in
same
the dark.
Same thing. They also could see object and see it moving.
They were much further away than we were. And like
they
we knew the leopard was there because we'd seen it in the headlights of the car. So she turns around and she kind of walks completely in the opposite direction, and our guide said, no, she's, you know, this is the edge of her territory, so she's probably going back into her territory. So maybe she'd just check the area out to see if there was anything to hunt or if there was any sort of sense that would, you know, that she needed to respond to in some sort of a way. She wasn't calling. I'm still, you know, that's still something that I'm really at some point want to see. I've only seen it once before, as a leopard vocalizing. Like, I've heard leopard vocalizing a lot. But
heard
I
heard it like under our tent at Tubu Tree.
Yeah, exactly. At Tubu, we heard it right underneath our tent. Amazing. And I think in Zambia, we've seen it before.
Mm.
But I think I've seen it once at Marataba. I don't know. It's just not something that you see that commonly. They're just such secretive animals.
I feel like we saw it at Savannah.
Yeah, maybe.
The male.
But that's still something that's that I would love to get a video of or get a photo of or something. And yeah, that's sort of the bulk
and then
of
we
what
left
we've
her.
Seen.
And we continued to drive home on our quiet afternoon game drive.
That was our quiet afternoon game drive. That was our 3 days at Chitabi. There were many other things. Like we did see the male lions. We did, one of the mornings, see other female lions. We did see, you know, another male cheetah. There
many
was loads of stuff. We had like different... We went to the Gumuti Channel. We found a male lion on a termite mound there. We saw...
Hundreds and thousands
of antelope, lots and lots of stuff. But those were sort of the highlights from those 3 days at Chitabi. And again, I would say if you ever get the chance to, and we are obviously very fortunate to be able to come to these places this time on a trip with our guests.
It's just so nice being able to show people this kind of...
It's a privilege, but you know... If you can ever go to these places, we encourage you to. And now we're at Vumbura, and it's been a phenomenal day or two, and hopefully we'll get the chance to just share one or two of the stories from here. But until next time, I suppose.
Yeah. 100%.
All right.